Good morning. So glad to be able to be with you even when we are apart. This is the day that the Lord has made and we rejoice in it. We rejoice in the wonderful gifts that He gives to us in worship. I ask that you would pray for our youth and the adults that are headed out to Mission South Dakota right now. I ask that you would pray for safety, and that God's name would be lifted high throughout that. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, which are new every morning. I ask that you would be with those traveling to South Dakota right now. Give them safe travel. Bless them. Allow them to arrive safely, to accomplish the goals that you have set out for them, and return home safely as well. And through it all, we ask that your name would be lifted high. Lord, be with those who hear these words. Even though they're not in the normal way, we know that you are powerful and that you can work through these words. Lord, allow my words to be your words and that everything I would say would be according to your will. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that your 4th of July weekend and holiday were full of excitement. They were full of relaxation and time together. That the holiday brought friends and family together so that you can celebrate some of the wonderful freedoms that God gave to you as a citizen of this nation. But at the same time, I think America is, more divided now than it ever has been in my lifetime, and probably all of your lifetimes as well. There was outrage on the 4th of July when NPR decided not to recite the Declaration of Independence. Instead, they had a segment talking about equality. That not all the voting rights, or all the voting rights were not established or extended to all the people. That there were some who did not get it, and there was not fairness, and there was not equity, and there was not justice within this and then other things as well. I'm not here to start a political debate. But I think we are all good at keeping score, and not just for the board game or the card game that we're playing. We're good at keeping score in that this person received that, and that person received, those things, but I didn't. It's not fair. It's not just. There's not equity. I need to receive that if it's going to be fair. But I don't think there's a universal call for justice. When a child says it's not fair, they're not going to say, here, take this back because I've received more. No, they're going to cry that out when they don't receive. Just as, a worker will never say, hey, why don't I give some of my money back because it wasn't fair. I received more money than my co-workers, and they did more work than I did last week anyway. No, but you'll hear about fairness when a new hire comes and they're making about the same amount of money you are, and you've worked there for five years. See, not all things are fair. And Jesus hits on this when he tells the parable about the vineyard workers. And I think it's good to point out that this isn't about earthly wages. This isn't about equal pay or anything like that, or every job should be a living wage. It's not that. It's the kingdom of heaven is like this. So the rule and reign of God is like this, not so much the world around us. And he tells us this parable of a vineyard owner that goes out and he hires workers early in the morning. And he says, I'll pay you one denarius, which is equal to one day's work of worth. He goes out later, the third hour, and he hires some more in the sixth and the ninth hour, and even at the 11th hour, right before the close of the day, he brings some more in and just kind of says, I'm going to pay you what you deserve. Well, at the end of the day, he starts from those workers that only work for 1 hour, and he gives them a denarius. And there isn't any complaints at that. No, probably the people that were hired very early in the morning are pretty happy at that. Because in their mind, they believe now they will receive maybe 12 denarius. Because they've worked 12 times as much as the other one. That would be fair. But when the vineyard owner continues to give them the same amount of money, they get upset. They cry out, it is not fair. Jesus is showing us just the strangeness, the unconventionalness of God's kingdom. It's not as we would expect. We would expect those who do more work would be blessed with more. But Jesus says it isn't that. The kingdom of God isn't based on fairness or justice or equity. Rather, it's based on the gospel. And if it's based on the gospel, it can't be based on fairness. Because if it's based on fairness, we don't get anything. We don't deserve anything. We fall short, but God is there, and he wants to come at us not according to fairness, but rather because of his love. He understands justice. He understands fairness. He gave us the law so that we can treat others fair. But he doesn't want to deal with us that way. He doesn't want to deal with you according to what you deserve, but rather by his grace, by his mercy. The kingdom isn't the way we expect it. The kingdom isn't what we deserve. We deserve separation from God, but God is there, and he loves us. And he welcomes us in. The vineyard owner doesn't go and find other people to hire these. He goes out, and God has gone out, and he has found you. And he gives you the wonderful gift of the kingdom, the wonderful gift of eternal life. I guess now we have to watch out, though, right? We don't want to become like the other workers. Where we start to think, well, I was a Christian from birth. I don't know life apart from being in God's family, so therefore I deserve more. I went to Lutheran school. I went to the seminary. I have been on mission trips, and as of right now, taking the high school youth and adults on another. So therefore, I deserve it. No, that's not how grace works. God comes in and says, yes, I gave you a gift. I gave you eternal life, but you're no better than the person who ran from God all his life. But at that last moment, God reached down and snatched him out of the fires of hell and gave him eternal life on his deathbed. You're all equal. You're all children of God, no matter what you have done for Christ or what you haven't had done for him. Know that the thief on the cross is the same as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul did amazing things. Most of the New Testament is written by his hand. Or at least told to a scribe to write down his thoughts and his words inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the thief on the cross received the same thing as the Apostle Paul when he said, you know, that weak confession. you're good, I'm not. When you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. And what does Jesus say? Today. Today you will be with me in paradise. He received the kingdom. He received the kingdom. Why is that? Because God works by grace. Jesus ends this with, so the last will be first. And the first will be last. And that's not even really talking about me and you and another Christian and this or that. It's talking about the first. Who is the first? Who is number one, the highest? God of gods, Lord of lords. It's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one who was seated on the throne. Jesus was there in the throne room of God. He was first, but what does he do? He becomes last. As St. Paul tells us, he lowers himself. He takes on flesh. He lowers himself. He is humiliated. And he dies a death that is excruciating, that is horrific, so that you, who are last, who deserve nothing more than hell, are made whole and are brought into the kingdom as first. Isn't that amazing? See, it's not by our works, but rather by Christ and what he has done for us. I think it's interesting. In this story, Jesus uses some time references. He says early in the morning, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. You could say, yeah, he's just telling the story. He's adding some details so we get the bigger picture. And that could be the case. But I think it's interesting that he knows what the gospel writers are going to write about his death. Want to know who's working? Well, it was very early in the morning when Jesus stood trial before Pontius Pilate. It was the third hour of the morning that he was crucified. The sixth hour, the sun becomes dark. And the ninth hour, it is Jesus who breathes his last breath, and he bows his head and gives up his spirit. And the 11th hour, right before the sun would set and the Sabbath would start, and there could be no more work, he is laid in the tomb. Who is the one that is working? Not us. Not us, but rather Christ himself for you. Christ has done the work so that you would have life. Christ is the worker, and you are the recipient of that wonderful wage, the pay, eternal life. And it doesn't matter if it was given to you in the waters of holy baptism at week one, or it was on your deathbed, you have received it. And for us now, who have received this wonderful pay, this wonderful wage, this gift that comes from the hands of God, we now can go and live generously because God has been generous to us. I think this week for the youth is a true example of that. The world would kind of question it. Why would you pay $500 per person? Go out and eat cafeteria food and sandwiches, sleep on classroom floors, hard floors, go sweat in people's houses that you don't know. It doesn't make sense. Why do we do it? Because of Christ and what he has done for us. See, it's not about being first or last or this or that, but rather once we have seen the grace of God and we understand it, that we don't deserve it, we want to share it. And now we live lives not trying to get in or do our work, but rather we live lives in work and in service of Christ and what he has done. We follow where he leads. And if that's to Mission, South Dakota, or inner city, you know, Minneapolis or Mankato or St. Peter or across the world, we go. Because we understand who he is and what he has done for us. The kingdom doesn't make sense. And I praise God that I understand it's by grace. And I hope you understand it's all by grace, because it doesn't make sense. If it's about me, then I fail. My prayer is that you would leave here today filled with the wonderful awe that your God loves you so much, that he has done the work so that you can receive the pay. And now you go live a life generous. Now you go live a life that it's not about being first, but rather one of service for your neighbor in love of your God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gifts that you have secured for us through the work of your Son. Lord, let us live lives according to this wonderful truth, that we would go forth now in great joy serving others because we have been given this wonderful gift. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may the truth that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.